Okay, so we're picking up on Yud-Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Abba Shaul says Shiva Yomim. Mitzvah Shiva Mavatelis Gzeiras Shloshim. Right, so he says, but we say you need Shmona Yomim, you need 8 days. By the way, Rabbeinu Chanan also agrees you need to have it is a din, the regulars of Mavatel, the Shloshim, because the Shloshim starts. I know we said it sounded like he holds just the key of the Shiva, but he says it clearly later. You need the Shloshim to start. Okay, anyway, so. Yes, the problem is that Abba Shaul says he only needs 7 days before the regular, right? And our Mishnah says 8 days before the regular. It's just an interesting question. How does anyone know that he means it's 7 days before the regular? You know?
He just says
Kashem, he says, what is that? Gzeiras Shivas Mavatelis, Mitzvah Shivas Mavatelis Gzeiras Shloshim, right?
It is weird.
Learning that.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody's learning that it means, apparently you can't learn that it really means the Kiyam of the Shiva, having the Kiyam of Shiva is going to be Mavatelis Shloshim. See, Rashi learns Mitzvah Shlosha and Mitzvah Shiva. He just translates it as how many days. It just translates that as how many days you were noheg, right? Mitzvah Shloshi says d'chi kover meso shloshi yomim. Mitzvah Shiva he says d'chi kover meso shiva yomim. Cut him regular, right? Meaning Mitzvah Shiva doesn't mean the kiyum of. Mitzvah Shiva means what? Doesn't mean the kiyum of Shiva. Right? Doesn't mean the kiyum of Shiva. Because if it just meant the kiyum of Shiva, you wouldn't need Mitzvah Shiva Kulo. Right? You could just say, all you need is the kiyum of Shiva, and that's what he holds. He holds once Shiva Yomim is good, not because of Mitzvah Shiva Kulo, but because at the end of the day you had your kiyum of Shiva. Right. So everybody holds it's a given that you have the only time you give him mavatel the shloshim is when the shloshim started. Then it's totally on the idea of mixyum. Then you need mixyum kulo. So mitzvah shiva is really just descriptively mitzvah shiva that you had you were mekayim. You had 7 days of the mitzvah of Avelis. Right? Okay. Now, because mitzvah shiva means the kiyum of shiva, so then the marashach. Maybe he means eight. If you can learn mitzvah shiva means that you are mekayim the mitzvahs of shiva, right? So then, why do you have to say Mixiyom Kukulo?
You don't have to.
Right, the Gemara is saying Abba Shaul must hold. The Gemara is saying, since he said Mitzvah Shiva, that first of all, they're interpreting Mitzvah Shiva to mean 7 days. And then they're raising a question. Oh, if it's only 7 days, our Mishnah said 8 days. Right? Our Mishnah said 8 days. Right? So then they have to say that he really holds Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, and it's really they're not saying there's a machlokus in the mission between the mission our mission and Abba Shaul about whether you need to start shloshim. That seems to be a given. Everybody agrees you need to start shloshim, right? Everybody agrees you need to start shloshim. The only problem with the with Abba Shaul is that since he's saying 7 days, he hasn't started shloshim yet, right? There's the Gemara's question, Shiva, v'ha anon shmona tanan. But there's no mitzvah shmona. No, there's no mitzvah shmona. What do you mean v'ha'an and shmona? Does the Tanna Kamma have 8 days of avails? What's the question on Abba Shaul? He says there's a mitzvah shiva. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah shiva. What's the question? The Tanna Kamma holds there's 8 days of avails? Right? They're taking kishem shem mitzvah shiva. He's taking mitzvah shiva, like Rashi says. That just means that you had 7 days before the regal. The chi knows kishem kach mitzvah shiva matels gzir shloshim. Rashi says this, it's a descriptively. The chi kavar meso shiva yomim kodem regal butlam min gzir shloshim. Right. Just like if you were nohag the mitzvah of Avelis for 3 days, then you would be mavatel, then the regal would be mavatel the shiva. If you're nohag Avelis for 7 days, that's how Rashi seems to be interpreting Abba Shaul. If you're nohag Avelis for 7 days, then the regal is mavatel the shloshim. And then the Mishnah, then the Gemara's question makes sense. What do you mean nohag for 7 days? The Mishnah says you have to be nohag for 8 days. It's a descriptive, it's strange, but it sounds like he's saying categorical idea, right? But he's actually speaking descriptively. Shem starts on the 8th day. Right, in other words, the way that the shot-wise is going like this, that the mitzvah that you're makayim by being noeg for 3 days is mevatel shiva. And the mitzvah that you're mekayim of being noeg for 7 days is mevatel shloshim. The only thing everybody knows, it's a davar yadua, that you can only be mevatel shloshim once it started. So then Abba Shaul is saying that shloshim starts on the 7th day. But our Mishnah says shloshim starts on the 8th day. Right? Okay. So then you must say that Abba Shaul holds miktsas hayom kekulo. Miktsas hayom kekulo. And therefore what? And therefore what? Yeah. The Yom Shvi'i Ola Lo Lekan Ulekan. The Choshev Nami Shmini. Right? It's Ola Lo Lekan Ulekan. Choshev Nami Shmini. Let's go a little further than that. Let's get some more facts straight. Go ahead. Avel, once the Menachemim... So the Gemara can see is that it says, an Avel, once the Menachemim get up from him, he's allowed to wash. So who holds like that? Whose statement is... Who is Rav holding like?
Come on,
Abba Shaul. Right? Because that's also a din. That's a din of mixing them. So you see that what? I just wanted to get one important fact from here. You see that what? You see you need to be no egg a little bit on the 7th day. Right? You need to be no egg shiva on the 7th day. Once you're no egg shiva in the morning... Right, then it's olalo, then it's olalo. So you see an interesting thing going to Abba Shaul. Even though they say mixas hayom is kekulo, it's still different than kulo. And one important fact. How so? Because if the whole 7th day is over, then it doesn't matter if anyone was menachem you that day. Okay,
it's just done.
But on the 7th day itself, you have to be noheg a little. So it's funny. It's a little bit funny, right? That is not automatic. In other words, it's not like once the day starts, it's considered like it's over. In other words, there's a real ending of the day. Sunset on the day of the 7th is a true ending of the day.
I mean, it's not the fact that the mitzvah yom has passed itself.
That's right.
That's
right. It's not like sunrise is like sunset. It's not that sunrise is equal to sunset. Right? It's not that when the day starts, the day is over. It means a little bit of a niyug on that day is like you're knowing the whole day. Right?
And extensions would be enough? Or is it dafka that, or a lot of dafka is just saying a niyug?
You mean, do you need menachemim there?
Yeah, or is it just, I'm not wearing shoes today.
Yeah, Mamash, we just have to be noeg. It means it counts as the end of the 7th and the beginning of the 8th. The end of the 7th? Huh? That's the same thing. Same exact
thing. Does that mean a normal account without a regular
observer can only claim any distortion? That's what Tosis asks. If you seriously take it, what do we mean by it's all kind of Lukan? Does it mean that you only have 29 days really distortion? That's a Tosis. That's a machlokas. We'll have to get into that. We'll have to get into that a little later.
For the first three, we don't say Kutuba?
On the first three, no. I don't believe so. I mean, like the Isser of Sheel Shalom and Malacha. No. I'm pretty sure. We'll have to take a look. But, yeah. So let's just try to understand this idea of Mixion Kulo. I mean, what kind of a concept is that? What kind of an idea is that? What kind of a measurement? What kind of idea is that? That part of the day is like the whole day. What does that mean? What does that mean, part of the day is like the whole day? What type of a scheme would that make sense in? Right? I mean, if I tell you that I need 10 tefachim, so you say, okay, well, measure out the first 9 tefachim and a little bit of the 10th. That'll be good enough. And what kind of an idea is that? If I say I need 7 days, I need 7 days. And it's not just by Avelis, Shiva and Shloshim. It's even by Nazir. And the Gemara in Nazir goes into the question of if it's even by the Raisas or only by the Rabbanans. But just a question it's a question of whether we're machmir by the Raisas and mekel by the Rabbanans. But it's a universal question, Mixiyom Kulam. So we have two problems. You have to understand what kind of sense does it make? What kind of an idea is it? I mean, you can say it, but does it make any sense? How would you come to such an idea like this? And then you have the problem, what's the machlokas? Right? See, now if you could just remember what you would say about the Rabbana now, you won't have a problem with the machlokas later. Okay, so what does Mixiyom Kekulo remind you of? At least let's just make some association and see if we can get anywhere. What does it remind you of? Another popular halachic Ruva Kulo? Okay, so you think of like Ruva Kulo, right?
Yeah.
You know, as you're looking for other, your mind is searching for other cases that where you have parts of the thing could count as the whole thing. What? Yes, yeah, so how does Ruva Kulo work? So this is there's a lot of Torah on Ruva Kulo, right? Ruva Kulo. No, you guys, we've discussed this, right? Ruva Kulo. So how does Ruva Kulo work? What's an example of Ruva Kulo? What's your favorite example of Ruva Kulo? Chaim? So what does it mean? No, it's like, let's say you need 10 people for a minyan. So you say, 6 who didn't daven is good. Right? 6 who didn't daven is good. Or you need to drink the kos. So you say, okay, rov kos is good. Right? Ruva kulo. But, or you say you need to shech the kane or the veshet. Right? You need to sever the esophagus or the windpipe, or both, depending on the animal. But Ruva Kulo, right? Rove is enough. Okay? But what don't you say? When don't you apply Ruva Kulo? You don't say 6 people is enough for a minion. Right? Or you don't say most of a cup is considered a full cup to start with a kos mole. Right?
Huh?
You don't say you can fill it up.
Oh, right.
Right. Well, you don't say I have half. I don't say I have rova kazayas of matzah. I ate a kazayas of matzah, right? So what's the chilek? What's the difference? When do you say ruva kulo? When do you not say ruva kulo? This is an old brisker. I think it's a brisker chilek. It's not my idea. I've heard it many times before. So what's the what's
when it's part of an entity but doesn't define the entity?
Good. That's good. Oh, you learned in the. And the brisker, yeah. So So what does it mean? It means to say like this, that you don't, let's say where you don't say it first. Let's say where you don't say it. Where don't you say it? You don't say it when you need a shear. Right? That's the generally accepted idea. That what? You don't say rubo kukulo by the shear in a substance. Right? So if I need 40 saw for a mikvah, I can't say 21 is enough. Right? I can't say 21 is enough. I need a kezias, I can't say most of a kezias is enough. I need a minion, I need 10 people, 10 men, I can't say 6 is enough, okay? But, so when do I say it? I say it when I need a quality in a substance, right? I need to qualify something.
So what, how do you put it in the question?
First question is you need a shear. There's a shear in the thing.
You only need the right. Quality of coat?
So by the kona and the veshed, it has to be considered cut. The kona and the veshed have to be cut. So if it's cut mostly, it's considered cut. The kos has to be drunk. If it's mostly drunk, it's drunk. The minion has to be, the 10 men have to be chayev in tefillah. Right? So if most of the entity is chayev, I have the quality of a tzibur for tefillah. Right? So that's the chilek. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's rubo kukulo. That would be rubo kukulo. So what are we dealing with over here, though? Over here, it's different. Over here, it's different. You're not saying rove of the last day is like the day, right? You're saying miktas hayom kukulo. It's a strange... So what's the shear here? What's the shear?
Well, like
you don't say 4 days of Shiva is good, right? You don't say 4 days of Shiva is good. So what's that? Let's just summarize. So we're saying that what? They're saying when you're dealing with the shear of substance, so then you can't compromise. And when you're dealing with the shear of substance, you need the full shear. And when you're dealing with a quality in a substance, you only need rove. But where is that? But so what is that? Where does it leave us over here? Where does it leave us over here? Nowhere really. So let's take a look at the rush. I think the rush. See, what we're looking for is the right place for this idea. In other words, so that's the way you have to think about these things. You have to think about what is the right place for an idea like this. Where would an idea like this fit in? In other words, like rubo kukulo. So you say, what type of an idea? What sort of a thing would I consider most of it like all of it? Right? So you'll say in qualities. Right? Because all of it just means that the thing has this quality. Because having the quality is an all or nothing thing. Either it has the quality or it doesn't have the quality. Either the object is defined by this, is qualified by a certain thing, or it's not qualified by a certain thing. And then you can translate that sentence of rubo kukulo into a sensible phrase and say, in order to qualify the entire object, if it only has to have physically present the quality in most of it. You know what I mean? But it's not a magical incantation, right? It's a statement of, it's a definitive statement that makes sense. Say, if I want to qualify something, then in order to qualify a substance, it doesn't have to have the quality in all of it, as long as it has the quality in most of it, it's qualified. Right? Because qualifying something is an all or nothing. So there's a certain point where it becomes qualified. Because everybody agrees. Everybody would agree that you don't need it in every single, just think of objects, like colors or different qualities. So there's has to be a certain point where you say it's enough to say the whole thing has that quality. Right? Mm-hmm. So rubo kukulo is saying when you want to qualify an object, the entire object, you only need most of the, you only need the quality to exist in most of it to qualify the whole object. So that makes sense, right? I can translate it into a sensible statement. But how do we translate? So if you, from the perspective of qualifying objects, rubo kukulo makes sense. What perspective does miktsas hayom kukulo make sense? That's the challenge. Okay, os lamed. Okay, I'll read it, right? The Russian os lamed, it says like this. The din is a couple of background pieces of information you might not have. That the halacha is like this. If you have a shmur rechoka, right, which means that you hear about the death after 30 days, so then you only know a one day of avelus. Right? You know a one day of avelus.
If they're about them, right?
Yeah. And we hold miktsas hayom is kakulo. You know, is you only need to sit for 1 hour. You have 1 day of avelos, but it's enough to sit for 1 hour. Okay? So, Rabbeinu, so the question is, what if you heard about the Shmur Rechok at night? Do you dafka have to sit in the daytime, or is it enough to sit for an hour at night? Okay?
Normally, can you sit at night?
Normally, yeah, you sit at night. But is it going to be considered, like, in other words, is Mixas HaLaila Kikulo, or only Mixas HaYom Kikulo? Right? So, Rabbeinu Meir says, Imshor Shmur Rechok HaLaila, the Mixas HaLaila Kikulo. Yeah, I'm in the middle. The Afa Gav the Gabi Shiva Lo Amrina Mixas HaLaila Kikulo HaYom. So, but that raises the problem. If you're going to say that the Shmur Rechoka, you can sit for 1 hour at night, and that's considered kikulo. So what about a regular Shiva? What about a regular Shiva? You should do the same thing. You should say on the night of the 7th, let him get up on the night of the 7th. Right? If Mixas HaLaila is kikulo, then the Shmur Rechoka is good. But then the night of the 7th should also be good. Right? And if it's not good, then even then the Shmur Rechoka should not be good at night. Right? See, like the Rashbam, who was it? He quoted someone earlier that said, the Rivam. The Rivam says, Mixas HaLaila is no good, because it's not nicker. Because people take their shoes off at night. Meaning that the Niyag is not good. It's not a good Niyag. So then it wouldn't work for Shmur Rechok, and it wouldn't work for the night of Shiva. But if you're going to say it works for the night, at night for Shmur Rechok, why doesn't it work for Shiva? So what's his answer? His answer is like this. He brings a Raya from a Gemara, in Megillah. The Gemara says that by the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, she has to dafka go to the mikvah in the daytime. Why? Because she has to count 1 day. She has to count 1 day. Okay? In other words, a woman sees Dam in the Yemei Ziva. Okay? After the days of Nida. Right? Some guys were here last year when we were doing this topic. So, if a woman sees Dam after the days of Nida, so then she'll become a Zava, either Zava Katana or Zava Gadola. So if she sees 1 day, she's considered Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So what does that mean? It means to say that the day that she sees, she's Tamea, and then the next day, if she's clean the next day, and she goes to the mikvah, she's Torah. Okay? Just to count one clean day. Alright? So, the Gemara says that she can't count the night and go to the mikveh at night. She must wait for the next day. She must wait for the next day. So he says, because Svira is by day, the Gemara says. Svira is by day. Okay, so he says, you see, Kamash Malon, Kevan de Boy Svira, Vesvira by Yamamahi, Alma Kol Dovar de Lo Salak by Yome, Uboy Svira, Lo Amrinan Mixas Halaila, Kikola Yom Adla Mohar. Hilkahovel, Lo Yotami Pet, Lo Yetami Pesel Peso Ad Hone Tachama de Dumya de Shemers Yom. Uchain by Yom Shloshim, hold on. Lo yigaleach ad hone techama. That's like the Lag B'Omer case. Yeah, umiu liyin shmur rechoka de lo boi svira el asagi b'shara achas salka afilu b'layla. It's a very clever answer. What's he saying? He's saying that what? That why does mixas hayom? What's the nature of the mixas hayom by the shiva? What is it?
Svira.
It's a minion of Shiva Yamin. Right? He's putting the framework. He's giving us the framework. He's not answering the question fully, not resolving all the problems, but at least he's giving us the framework to start thinking about this properly. Saying the idea of Mixas HaYom Kikulo is when you have a Sphira of Yamin. You have a minion of Yamin. You have a certain activity that goes for a number of days. Right? So then Miksasa Yom Kippur is saying what? What is it saying? What is it saying? The minyan is completed. When you counted the day, the minyan is completed. Right? So that's why during the Shiva at night it won't count. Because in terms of the minyan is bayom. But it's not because you can't be noeg avelos balayla. It's not because you're lacking in nieg avelos balayla. Right? So by Shmuel Rechoka, all you need to do is a maisa of nieg avelos. Not a minyan yomim. You just need a maisa of nieg avelos. So that's why Shmuel Rechoka will be good at night. But by Shiva, it's not a maisa of nieg avelos on the seventh day. It's a minyan of the seventh day. It's a sphira of the seventh day. It's a nihug of sviras shivas yomim. So that's why he's saying it won't work. But what it's showing you is that what? That the only way that this idea makes sense is if you're looking at it in terms of a minyan. In terms of a minyan. So you can say that I have a minyan of yomim. Looks like the malos by the nazir. You have a minyan of yomim. But we have to still explore this idea a little further. Yeah. See, Rashi and Nazir says, Dekosovar miksas hayom she'ovar miyom shloshim, part of the day that passed from the day of shloshim, kimi she'ovar kulo dami. It's like the whole day passed. What does that mean, though? It's like the whole day passed. Miksayom sounds like he's literally learning Miksayom Kukula. Yeah.
Why can't you just do a little bit each?
That's the other question. Right. And then the other question people ask, a good question, why can't you do a little bit every day? Every morning I'll do a little bit. To be continued. All right. Done with today. But then you get the problem. That's why he says Yom Shmini. It's like the Yom Shmini came upon you. And it's not going to work in
that.
That
would be another problem, wouldn't it? That would be a problem with how we're giving you the quality if we've been breaking that quality.
All right, so let's take Shabbos. Right? So nobody in their right mind would ever say, Miksas Hayom is Kukulo. Right?
You thought about it.
Yeah. Nobody, that's preposterous. Right?
That's also not a day where you...
Good. So obviously that's not applicable because that's the day itself. So what do we mean by Miksas Yom Kippur? I'm just trying to like get us into the right framework over here. Closing off.
Like if you have to do Nihulim, if you qualify the whole day.
In other words, what's the relationship between, on Shabbos, it's the Yom itself, like we said the other time, the Yom itself is Mechayev in a Simalacha. The Yom itself is a Simalacha. And the Yom itself as an entity is from sunset to sunset, right? Sunset to sunset, basically. Correct? So you can't say part of the thing is the thing itself. That's an illogical statement. Because part of the thing means it's bigger. And the thing itself means that it's complete, it's whole. So you can't say part of the thing is the whole. That's a logical contradiction. Right? So in what sense can we say Miksas Yom Kippur? In other words, how do the days and the avelos relate to each other? That's really what we're trying to get down to. What's the relationship between the avelos and the days? Can't say that it's the days have a chiyuv. Can't say there's a chiyuv in the day, right? What's the relationship of the yomim and the avelos? That's what I need to know. What's the relationship between the yomim and the avelos? Right? So you have to say it's sheer. You have to say it's sheer. But then we get down to the other problem of when we said sheer, we said by sheer we don't normally say a part is like a whole. Right? So how come this sheer we're going to admit not only Rubo's kulo, even Mixus is kulo. Let me ask you a question. When I say that you need a lechi to be 10 tefachim high, right? The lechi has to be 10 tefachim high. Okay? So then what? So I take my measuring stick. I take my measuring stick, right? And I take my measuring stick, right? And I line it up with the lechi. Take my 10 tefachim measuring stick and I line it up with the lechi. So why is the lechi good? Why is the lechi good? Is it because I measured it? No. Because it is 10 tefachim. Right? In other words, the lechi is a certain substance. The substance has to have a certain magnitude. If I have something that has that magnitude, so then I can say, if this measuring stick has this magnitude, and my lechi is equal to the measuring stick, my lechi has the magnitude. Okay? But it's the magnitude in the lechi. Same thing with the volume. Right? The revius of a kezias. I need the volume of a kezias, so I'll measure it with something that I know has the volume of a kezias. Then it comes out that my matzah has a kezias, but it's a quality in the matzah. It's a quality in the substance, right? It's the magnitude of the substance. Or put it another way, the same thing that the measuring stick has, the lechi has. The magnitude. We call it magnitude here. The same thing that the measuring stick has, the lechi has. Okay? Now, let's say one is noheg avelus. Or nazirus. And he's no egg for many moons. Okay?
Probably did more trouble than he...
Can we compare the two measuring systems? Can we compare the measuring systems? Can we say he has a Naziris of many moons? No, of course not. His Naziris is steady. His Naziris doesn't have sunrises and sunsets in it. When I measure the stick, the thing I'm using to measure has a certain quality. And I'm looking for that identical quality in my Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. I need a lechi with a magnitude of 10. Right? I need a lechi with a magnitude of 10. So I take something that is known to have a magnitude of 10 and I compare it. Right? Like Dam Nida. The Ram says, the Gemara says there are five colors. So the Rambam says, if you're not an expert, you take, the Gemara gives certain natural substances that have the colors. He says, you look at it, you compare the two. Does this have the redness of this? Right? You're looking for the quality in the thing. So that's some types of a measure. Sometimes you measure things. What you're measuring really is the quality. You want to know if the quality in your object, if your object has the quality in your measuring stick, right? But if I'm timing something with the ticks of my clock, right? Timing something with the ticks of my clock. So my clock is ticking, but does that mean the thing is ticking? Of course not. That's ridiculous.
But your clock is ticking through time.
It's ticking through time. It's true.
And that lasts through time the same time period.
So the point though is that it's a totally arbitrary correlation. It's an arbitrary correlation. In other words, when I take a measuring stick The magnitude in the stick is the magnitude in the thing, right? If I'm measuring time with events, right, I'm just trying to see how long, I want to know how long is he a nazir for? Right, how long is he a nazir for? So I just need to find something that I can measure it with. And so I need is to find another occurrence as a benchmark, correct. But there's nothing in the two that they really share, nothing.
Just a mark.
It's just a mark.
That's length of time.
That's length of time.
Let me put it simpler. When I measure the lechi, I have a cheftza that has a magnitude, right? But when you measure the guy's nazirus, there's nothing that you're really measuring. There's no cheftza that has a magnitude, right? They're just trying to show the measuring of time and the measuring of an object are completely different things. Is that clearer? Okay. They're completely different phenomena. That's why I'm just trying to make an opening over here. I'm just trying to crack open a little opening over here. So, in other words, let's take my original question. You would never say, if I said bring me back a stick that's 10 tefachim long, I would never bring you back and say, here it is, and I measured it with this one tefach ruler. I did it 9 times and just a little bit of the 10th. Right? That would be ridiculous. Right? Because when I say a 10 tefach rule, I need a 10 tefach stick, I mean I need my substance to be qualified with a certain magnitude. Right? Because substance and magnitude go together. Right? And the measuring is not a process of measuring. When I measure 10 tefachim, it's not measured because I did something 10 times. You hear what I'm trying to get there? I don't say that the stick is 10 tefachim long because I did a maisa of measuring 10 times. Like I said, there are measurements like that, right? Like in certain cultures, they speak about distances in the time it takes to smoke a cigarette. Say, how far away is a 10? Oh, that's a pack away. Right? Unfiltered. But that's not a normal measurement of the magnitude of a magnitude. That's just correlating an activity. That's correlating two activities. You want to know how long it is? If you do the mice of walking, for the time it takes you to smoke 10 cigarettes, you'll be there. But it's not a 10 cigarette distance. There's no reality to that. 10 cigarettes is not in the substance of the land between here and there. Whereas 10 tefachim is in the stick. That's all I'm trying to tell her. That's all I'm trying to do right now. Just trying to pry away the measuring from what the thing you're measuring with from what you're measuring with. Sometimes when we measure something, we're looking for the same exact quality in the tool to be in the cheftza. Sometimes they're just arbitrary correlations.
What makes something measurable?
But it has to have magnitude, no?
Well, let's add a piece of at that specific point of the day.
I'm saying there's magnitude and duration. There are two things. There's magnitude and duration. They're two different things. Magnitude, you can say it has a magnitude. Duration is nothing that has the duration. Duration just means how long you're doing the same thing. So say, how long should I do this? A minion of 7 days.
You
understand? But now there's no insistence that the full 7 days be in that duration. It is a machlokes. So the question is not why it. The question is not why it can't be measured by the full 7 days. The question is how can you measure it by the beginning of the day? Measuring. All I'm trying to say right now is that you've got to recognize that there are different ways of measuring things. And in certain modes of measuring, the idea of miktas kakula would be entirely unacceptable. If I said I need 6 pounds of something, I wouldn't say, well, here's 5 and a little bit of it. Here's 5 pounds and a little bit of a pound. Right? That would be ridiculous. It'd be ridiculous. You wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Right? But That's, but in other types of measurements, for some reason, it is possible. So I'm just trying to show you that it pays to think into the two different methods of measuring things. And you'll see maybe that'll help us to see why in one, that it's really measuring duration is an entirely different thing than measuring magnitude. Entirely different. Entirely different. Because the measure, because the duration that you're measuring doesn't have the quality of the thing that you're measuring it with. It does not have the quality of the thing that you're measuring it with.
Why can't it be like not
you might say they're sharing a quality. That's what you're
but not the one that you're looking for.
But not the thing you're measuring with.
Don't we say that
when I time my egg with the egg with the sand timer, there's no sense in saying there are 1,000. Sand drops. That's just an arbitrary thing. It's just a totally arbitrary thing. But if I say my stick has 10 tefachim in magnitude, and the lechi measures the same as my stick, then they actually have the same quality. There is no quality of 10,000 grains of sand passing through an hourglass. There's no quality like that. And the time I take certainly doesn't have that quality.
But the event has the quality.
So I'm just using an arbitrary thing to measure a duration.
The sand doesn't. The event of the
that's right.
Before it won't exist after.
So my point is like this: once you're using it, once you're saying that to measure duration, you have to pick an arbitrary method. There's no reason why you have to say you need to count the whole day. The whole thing is just an arbitrary method. Then I could say the method is counting days. Now, when did I count the day? In the beginning. So that's it. That's the duration. The duration is a counting of days. How long shall I do this? Do this for as long as it takes for you to count 30 days. Count it today. Time's up. You hear where I'm going?